Some of you have made lots of decisions, I can hear that. Others of you are staring at me like I've never made a decision that's changed my life. Actually, when you think about it, we've made lots of decisions that have changed our lives. Where we're going to live our career, who we're going to marry, if we're going to get married, if we're going to have children, you know, am I going to retire, and all kinds of decisions. We are making several points in our lives, decisions that will change the direction of our lives in many different ways. And as we continue in the Gospel of Mark, and if you're visiting with us this morning, this fall, we're going through a series in the Gospel of Mark. We find Jesus this morning encountering some young fishermen. And in this encounter, Jesus invites these young men to make a decision that will radically change their lives. Let me read to you Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's just walk through this passage this morning. It's got a lot to say to us. Let's go back to the first verse. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee, you may or may not know, is a beautiful freshwater lake that is fed by the waters of the upper Jordan River. It is 215 meters below sea level. It's 22 and a half kilometers long, and it's 9.5 kilometers wide at its widest point. And back in Jesus' day, fishing on the Sea of Galilee was a booming and very profitable industry. Many people made their living fishing on the Sea of Galilee, including the four men we meet in this story, Andrew and Simon and James and John. And let me read to you verse 16 again in its entirety and verse 19. It says this, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. So here's Jesus, comes to the Sea of Galilee, he's walking along, and he sees Simon and Andrew fishing, and they're throwing out circular nets from the shore into the lake, and they're pulling the nets back, hopefully finding some fish in them. And then as Jesus carries on, he encounters James and John, and you notice that James and John were in a boat fixing nets. And James and John weren't fishing the same way that the other two guys were. The other two guys were shore fishermen. James and John, they went out to the lake and they were deep water fishermen using a different kind of net. And this net that they had would need a lot of fixing. And so they're in the boat, they're fixing. Another thing you notice about James and John is that fishing for them was a family business. Here they were with their dad and some hired help fixing nets. And that suggests to us, and we often have this kind of picture that these fishermen were poor peasants. They probably weren't. James and John, at least, were probably like middle-class small business owners, if you wanted to put them in our vernacular today. And in verse 16 and 17, Jesus issues them a call. Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And if you drop down to verse 19, when Jesus had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing the nets. Without delay, he called them. Jesus' words were straightforward and to the point. Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now, the first part of Jesus' invitation, come follow me, could be better translated if you took it literally from the Greek in which the New Testament was written, put it into English. It means Jesus is saying, come after me. And that phrase would have reminded Mark's original audience of the Jewish practice of a student following a rabbi. In Jesus' day, rabbis were the spiritual leaders. And what would happen back then is a young man would approach a rabbi they admired and ask the rabbi if they could become the rabbi's disciple or apprentice or pupil. And if the rabbi accepted you, you became the rabbi's disciple, the rabbi's apprentice, and literally, you would start following your rabbi. You would do everything your rabbi did. You would pray like your rabbi, you would study like your rabbi, walk like your rabbi, talk like your rabbi, eat like your rabbi. Everything the rabbi did, you would do. In fact, your primary life pursuit was to become like your rabbi so you could go out and share your rabbi's message. Being a rabbi's apprentice was a totally and completely life-changing event. Now, did you notice something different in the verses I've read to you? Normally, as I just mentioned, it was the student who sought out the rabbi. But you notice what happened here? Here's the rabbi, here's Jesus, he was considered a rabbi, and he sought out his followers. He went and invited some fishermen to follow him. Now, if you were starting a movement that you wanted to catch on and change the world, would you invite fishermen to be part of that? No, of course not. Who would you go to? You would go to the social elite. You would go to the most religious people. You would get the people that were the movers and the shakers of the day. And here's Jesus. He's doing something unusual because, again, a rabbi didn't invite, but here's Jesus inviting fishermen to become part of his movement. Jesus didn't choose the socially prominent. Jesus didn't choose the most religious people of the day. He invited ordinary fishermen to follow him. And what did he do? He equipped and empowered and used those ordinary fishermen to change the world. And here's the great thing. Today, people, Jesus is still inviting ordinary people like you and me to follow him. Isn't that great? Jesus is inviting us to follow him. Ordinary people. He doesn't need the super-looking religious people. He doesn't need the most socially prominent people. Jesus wants to take ordinary people from ordinary walks of life, and he wants to use them, and he wants to empower them to go out and make a difference for him and his kingdom. And that's awesome. As we talked about last week, Jesus wants us to live as kingdom people and be kingdom bringers to make a difference. And you don't have to be special to do that. You just have to make the choice to follow Jesus. And here's Jesus. He invites these four fishermen to follow him. And you understand what he was doing in that, right? You understand that. He was inviting these four fishermen. He was inviting them to leave their middle class occupations and their security and their income and their comfort and their friends and to come and become his apprentice, his pupils, his disciples. He was inviting these fishermen to come and eat with him and pray with him and live with him and study with him and walk with him and join him on his mission. His invitation was an invitation to a new way of living. Now, I want you to notice something here. Notice Jesus didn't come up to Andrew and to Simon and say, "Can I come into your life?" He didn't come up to them and say, "Will you accept me into your life?" That's not what he did. Because here's the truth. Jesus didn't want to come into their life. He wanted them to come into his life. And there's a vast difference. And I think the same thing holds true today. Too often today, in the way we word things, we say, "Will you accept Jesus into your life? Will you invite Jesus into your life?" And Jesus goes, "No, wrong. No. I want you to come into my life." And that's why Jesus calls us to repent, which again, word's got a lot of negative connotation if you're visiting with us today, but it just means to turn around and go in a new direction. And what Jesus is doing, he's saying, "I don't want to come part of your life as you journey like this. I want you to turn and follow me. And I'm inviting you into a whole new way of living. And then you look at verse 18 and 20 and it says this. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired men and followed him. Jesus says, hey guys, I want you to follow me. It's going to be an entirely new way of living. You're going to leave everything, and you're going to go, and you're going to live in an entirely new way. And how did these fishermen respond? It says of Peter and Andrew, at once they left their nets and followed him. It says of James and John, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired men and followed him. These four men dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Think about that. Fishing was probably all they knew. And they drop everything and they follow Jesus. And if you're following the story, you know that James and John didn't just leave their livelihood. They also left their father and the family business. Their decision to follow Jesus was an all-in decision. Now, if you're reading the Gospel of Mark, you get the impression that this is the first time they ever met Jesus. And this stranger walks up and says, follow me. And suddenly these guys immediately leave and follow Jesus because he had a halo around him or something. And that's what you think, but that's not the way it really was. In John chapter 1, we see that there was an encounter with Jesus that at least Andrew and Simon or Peter had. In fact, in John 1, John lists Andrew as a disciple of John the Baptist, and he would have heard John the Baptist refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And Andrew actually ended up, it says in John, spending a day with Jesus. And then Andrew went and found his brother Peter and introduced Peter to Jesus. So it seems at least two of these fishermen had met Jesus near the Jordan River. So these fishermen were at least familiar with Jesus. They're like a lot of people today. They're familiar with Jesus, but they're not following Jesus. And then came the day when Jesus called these fishermen to follow him. And in response, they dropped their nets and they headed off on an adventure that would not only change their lives, but would change the world. And according to the Bible and according to tradition, these four fishermen paid a steep price for that decision to follow Jesus. John ended up in exile. James was beheaded. Andrew was crucified in Greece. And Peter was crucified upside down. And yet, I'm sure if you asked them, was it worth it? Every single one of them would say yes. Part of the problem we have today in our little piece of heaven here is we don't understand the cost of following Jesus. We don't understand that. And because we don't understand the cost of following Jesus, I sometimes think we downplay what the call of following Jesus is really all about. If you were to go to the Middle East and you were in a Muslim family and you as a Muslim decided to follow Jesus, there would be a very real cost. If you're living in Iraq or Syria and ISIS comes to your town and you're a Christ follower, there's a real cost to following Jesus. If you're in China and you're a follower of Jesus, there's a cost to following Jesus. And because of that cost, you understand the call and you have a greater commitment. And I think today, because there's no cost, the worst you're going to do is get teased about following Jesus in our culture, that we don't understand the call. And because we don't understand the call, we lack commitment. And yet, these four fishermen said, we're all in. Even if it costs us our life, we're all in. And all over the world today, Christ followers are saying the same thing. But here's the question for us this morning is this. How have you responded to the call to follow Jesus? How have you responded to the call to follow Jesus? Are you willing to follow him? Answering yes to that question should change your life. Following Jesus should change how we spend our money. following Jesus should change how we use our skills, how we spend our time, how we view other people, how we view working in the marketplace, how we view going to school, how we view our retirement. Following Jesus should change your life. So let me say this morning. If following Jesus doesn't change your life, then you're not following Jesus. If following Jesus does not change your life, you're not following Jesus. People who claim to be Christ followers, while their lives look no different than the rest of the world, are not Christ followers. Understand that. Because here's a huge problem we have in the church in North America today. Study after study shows there's no differentiation between people who regularly go to church and their values and their behaviors and their lifestyle from people who don't go to church. People who go to church regularly in North America and people who don't go to church are living the same lifestyles, values, and everything else. You know what that tells us? Our churches are filled with people who don't follow Jesus. That's what it tells us. Because if you follow Jesus, it will change your life and it will make you different than others. You'll have a different lifestyle. You'll have different values. You'll love your enemies. You'll do all kinds of things that are countercultural in a positive way. When you repent and turn, right? Repent means to turn. And you repent from going this direction and you choose to go in the new direction of following Jesus, that change of direction should change how you think, it should change how you believe, it should change how you feel, it should change how you love, it should change how you live. Jesus says, follow me. And so the question is, how are you going to respond? Now, let's be clear, I'm not talking here about becoming religious. Okay, I'm not talking about being religious. We can get so obsessed with being religious. We can get so obsessed with sin. We need to stop being obsessed with sin and start being obsessed with Jesus. That's what we need to do. And I'm not talking here about having it all together. Let me be clear about this. You don't need to have all the answers to follow Jesus. You don't need to have all your theology down pat to follow Jesus. Listen, this is something really to remember. Those fishermen, when they started following Jesus, they weren't even sure who Jesus was. They didn't know who he was. They had some idea, but if you read through the Gospels, they were confused about who Jesus was. They just knew that it was someone they wanted to be with, that there was something special about this guy, and that he was worthy of following, but they didn't have it all figured out. And you don't have to have it all figured out. And I've been following Jesus for a long time, and I definitely don't have it all figured out. So don't feel bad if you don't have it all figured out. I don't know if you'll ever get it all figured out. I don't think I will. And listen, you definitely don't have to be perfect to follow Jesus. Those fishermen, you read the Gospels, they were far from perfect. And you don't have to be perfect either. I mean, I'm the only perfect person here, so the rest of you don't have to be perfect, right? I can say that now because my wife's not here till 11, but... No, we don't have to be perfect. But here's what you need to be willing to do. I was thinking about it this week. You don't have to be any of those things, but you need to be willing to drop your nets. We take you back to verse 18. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Those four fishermen, for them to follow Jesus, they had to drop their nets. They would have looked mighty stupid pulling their nets behind them following Jesus, right? And that got me to thinking, what nets do we need to drop to follow Jesus? Those fishermen literally left their fishing nets. They left their family. They left the family business. They left security. They left all kinds of things to follow Jesus. What do you need to leave, or what do you need to let go of to follow Jesus? In other words, what's holding you back? What are you holding on to? What's holding you back from following Jesus? Maybe your focus is on money and you're chasing money and money's your God and your king and everything. And Jesus is calling you to turn and focus on him and enter his kingdom and put him as king. And you're saying, no, you're like the rich young ruler. You're saying, money's my focus and I'm not willing to let go of that net. Maybe your focus is self. You're like, man, it is all about me. And Jesus is saying, you can't be king because I'm calling you to put me as king, and you're saying, no thanks, Jesus, I'm going to hold on to the net of self. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's fear. Jesus might send me to Africa. He might, I don't know. But if he's going to send you to Africa, it'll be the best thing for you to be, best place for you to be. Maybe it's your lifestyle. In other words, what net are you holding on to that's preventing you from following Jesus, preventing you from turning and going this way and putting him as king? What is it? Because Jesus doesn't want to enter your life. He wants you to enter his life. He wants you to turn and follow him. And his invitation this morning is to drop your nets. Come follow me. Will you do that? Will you follow Jesus? Your answer, understand this, and please understand, it's so important for us to understand. Your answer to that question not only impacts you, it impacts everyone around you. We often forget about it. We often think that following Jesus is an individual thing. You know, you hear that thing, oh, your religion is an individual. That's such garbage. Your decision to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus has a massive impact in the people around you and for generations to come in your family line. Listen to Mark 1:17. It says this, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Following a rabbi back then meant that you not only lived and learned from your rabbi, but you also went out and you shared your rabbi's message. And here Jesus was making a play on words, if you will, based on Simon and Andrew's occupation as fishermen. And he's saying, just as fishermen would fish for fish, I'm going to send you out to fish for people. You see, he was going to send them out to show and proclaim the good news. He was going to send them out to invite people to follow Jesus. He was going to send them out to transform their world. It's not just about you and me following Jesus. It's about you and me following Jesus for the sake of others. Understand that. And when you decide to follow Jesus and you say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, it impacts everyone around you in a positive way, I hope. And it impacts generations to come in your family line. That decision is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Jesus says to you this morning, follow me. How are you going to respond? Because the invitation demands a response. And there's only two. Right? Those fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, along comes this rabbi and says, follow me. They had to make a decision. The decision was yes or no. You get to make the same decision. Are you going to follow Jesus? There's only two responses. Jesus is calling you to follow him. Do you realize the weight of the one who's calling us to follow him? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator. He's the Holy One. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that wants to empower you. And he is worthy of so much more than just church attendance and casual association. He is worthy of a big yes when it comes to following him. Let me ask you this morning, will you make an all-in commitment to follow Jesus? Will you make an all-in commitment to follow Jesus? And you all sit there looking at me like, I don't know. Is he almost done yet? It's lunchtime. Let's get out of here. If I'd said to you, I have two tickets to the next Canucks game, does anyone want them? You would have gone nuts. Right? You would have. I don't know why you would have. It's the Canucks, but you would have. I don't know about you, but I personally, I don't want to end my life still hanging on to my nets. I want to live as Peter and Andrew lived. I want to drop my nets and I want to follow Jesus. I want to go all in. What about you? Somebody has said this, the church is at its best when ordinary people lay it all on the line for Jesus. So let's do that. And let's get off our butts and follow him. Let's seek Him and His kingdom first, and let's really do it. Let's move past our selfishness. Let's find our lives by losing them in Him. Let's commit all in to living 6-8 lives. Lives where we walk humbly and love mercy and act justly. Lives that honor Him and create stories worthy of telling our grandchildren about. Let's commit to be all in followers of Jesus. Jesus says, "Will you follow me?" The answer is yes. The answer is no. It is the biggest decision you will ever make in your life. And I hope you're more excited about it than when I just asked you a couple of minutes ago. Let me close by reading something that I've read to you once or twice in the last many years. But it's something I believe an African pastor wrote. And it goes like this. And after I read it, I will pray. It says this: "I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die is cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I do not have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on God's presence, walk by patience, am uplifted by prayer, and labor by love. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not give up, shut up, or let up. I am a disciple of Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You have a clear call for us this Thanksgiving morning. Drop your nets, follow me. God, I pray that all of us would make that decision. May we not be like so many churchgoers in North America where our lives are exactly like those who don't follow you. Because the implication of that is really just disgusting. God, I just pray that we would be people who would live as you called us to live. People that would follow you and go all in to following you. People that would love you and love others like people can't understand. People that would walk humbly with you every day our feet are on this planet. People that would serve compassionately, even our enemies. People that would act justly for the poor and the oppressed. God, I pray that we would be the people that you want us to be. That we would go all into following you, because when we follow you, you empower us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.